Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan, here, as always, with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.L. How you doing? What's going on? How you feeling today? You're in a suit.
Yeah, I'm in a suit. I had to go to court today. Let me tell you something. Hi, Assistant Producer Frankie. You know, I try to keep my comedy life out of my day job. You know, it's not great when your client finds you on Instagram.
Yes.
Because all our data, we surrender all our data and information to every app. Mm-hmm. So that they can just, you know, give it to strangers who might not want to know you in a comedic sensibility. Mm-hmm. But I try to keep those separated, and you got to keep them separate. I almost started to say separated. Great joke. And I don't know if I've ever shared it on this show.
We've done two music cues already.
Yeah. A buddy of mine, Odie, I think I talked about this. He son of a Kenyan diplomat, went to school with him from 4th to 12th grade. And I remember in high school, he was asking me, he was like, And don't think of this as like a Coming to America bullshit thing. He was very Americanized, but he literally was like, he didn't listen to shit like The Offspring.
Right.
And he was just like, keep them separate. Like, he thought it was like some
racial thing.
Well, because it's like, dude, if you're not into metal, you don't know the distinctions maybe between like, and like,
yeah.
And he was like, is this like some white power shit?
I was like, no, The Offspring?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Right. And he was just like,
they're just on drugs.
but I do like to keep things separate, especially, you know, with the new job. They know I'm a comedian. It's just like there's no need for it to bleed in at all. But it goes the opposite way also. At 501, I'm an entertainment powerhouse, entertainment mogul, voice of a generation. I don't want my ineptitude at my day job to blur into that.
That's where the stamina comes in.
Well, when I walk down to the D train after a tough day at work, the court attorney from the courtroom where I was having the most exhausting time today, it's a lot of learn on the job. This felt very much like a fly. You have to fly on your own today. And I'm like, not with this guy, this hard ass defense, like plaintiff attorney. Like, no, I don't. And the court attorney saw me coming down the stairs today. He was talking to somebody else and he goes, rough day today.
Oh no, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
And it wasn't rough. Like, there was nothing bad happened to a client. It was just this long, drawn out minutia proceeding that I was like not sure of. And then, you know, got the okay from a supervisor, et cetera. But I was just kind of sitting there, and I felt like I don't know. Maybe these are the moments when people would rather be 5'2".
Yeah.
Whereas I just feel like a mascot for ineptitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm basically the size of one, like a stadium mascot on my own. And so it's sometimes you're just like, it's a joke I did about when I got laid off in 2009 and I was close enough to home that I could just walk home with my cardboard box of things like a symbol of layoff.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, it was like, do I take a cab 9 blocks home? It's like, no. So here I am just with my debt. It's like, wow, that guy. Wow. He's got this is the new trail of tears. Yeah. He's just got to walk an extra long way home because it makes no sense to take a cab. But that was like at 5:01 p.m. You're just like, you breathe a sigh of relief, and then you walk down the stairs. It's like, whew, rough day,
right?
And he was like sympathetic. It wasn't like, what a dunce, but it was still like, oh boy,
yeah, not what you want to hear.
No, not what you want to hear. Now, by the time people listen to this episode, we'll know if Mikey Sherrill has won the governor's seat in New Jersey.
Right.
We'll know if 9/11 Mamdani has brought his reign of hell upon New York City. I saw a comic post, not Rich Voss, but I saw a comic post a meme that said their first attempt, and it was 9/11. It was like a plane going to the towers, and it was like their second try, and it was Mamdani at a podium. And I thought to myself,
their second attempt.
I was like, this is like, you don't have to like it. Like, my mom has a different approach to Mom Donnie. She, you know, there's five sacred things in my mom's world.
Yes.
Kennedy, Clinton, okay. Cuomo, Henri, and Jean-Louis.
Henri, the soccer player?
Yeah, my brother, my older brother.
Oh, got it. My bad.
The Jean-Louis was a context clue. That's me. Speaking of context clues, let's pause there for a second. We'll come back to that because everybody knows what happened right now.
Right.
If I were Mom Donnie and I say this, you know, I'd be nervous. Like,
about
when I see random comics comparing you to 9/11.
Oh, you mean like for him nervous as like, yeah, an Arab man?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, the alignment of far right and billions of dollars, they could find a middleman.
Yeah.
Second episode in a row, I'm pontificating about, but I'm saying that out of like, I'm nervous.
Right.
When I see things like that, it makes me nervous. It doesn't make me go, it makes me go, you're fucking sick. But it also makes me nervous. Like somebody that like some just random comic in the comedian world, like is just, and not like some
fucking dumbass.
but I'm saying this is not someone who's like, I'm at Governor's the next 95 weekends.
Right.
You're like, Jesus Christ, that you don't think that's a bit extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But context clues. I just, you know, whatever happens. Obviously, my mom voted for Cuomo because and she was very proud of it. And me and my brother made the case. I made it with humor, which, like my career, doesn't work on my family either. But you know, she at least has more of a, like, she didn't like Obama when he beat Hillary, but she got on board like a month later.
Yeah.
And just diehard Obama person since. But Hillary was, you know, represented a lot to her.
Right.
And she was, you know. And Cuomo, to me, doesn't deserve the same kind of, like, Hillary represented your generation, your gender, a rise to the peak of America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Cuomo is, I don't think Andrew Cuomo, maybe Mario Cuomo was
right.
More of a, yeah, as my father so eloquently put, RIP dad, Mario Cuomo was a great man. Andrew Cuomo's ugly.
That is really fucking funny, man.
I mean, the sad thing is if my dad were alive today, he'd be 91, mm-hmm. 92, so beyond his podcasting prime.
Yeah.
But if I could have had my, if podcasting could be the thing when my dad was in his like late 60s,
yeah,
it'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had the same thing, you know, like Janet Reno. Didn't care really that much about
just thought she was ugly.
Waco, but it was just like, oh, Janet Reno. Oh. But both genders.
Right. Yeah, he was equality. He just hated the ugly.
He just liked beauty.
Yeah, right.
And hated its opposite.
Yep.
Mario Cuomo. That was a great man. Andrew Cuomo, ugly. So he might be more on Chris Cuomo's side.
Mm. Better looking?
Much better looking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but maybe he'd be too intellectually lacking for him to support him.
Mm, I see.
But who knows? We'll never know now. But politics, 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 Trump, 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 Trump.
Yeah, I agree.
Context clues. This is sort of a mishmash intro. But I'm posting about different gigs I have, which really do feel like the final gigs. I posted about my gigs in Toronto. You know, I have like five shows left and a group of them are in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman wrote, usually you get the comments like, come to Ohio, come to Michigan, come to Los Angeles. I go, yeah, I have.
Yeah,
I have. I've done my part. But you don't get unlimited chances to lose comedy clubs money.
Right.
It's one of the really, one of the only honorable things comedy clubs do is meritocracy, and the merit is selling tickets.
Right.
If you don't sell tickets, you are worthless. So I post about these and everybody's going, you got to come here. And I will even write in the thing, like, please don't ask me to come to your city. Like, these are where I can get. I've probably come to your city. And it just happens. And then one woman said, come to Toronto. Ma'am, this is a poster of me and a big fucking maple leaf saying, Toronto.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Toronto.
I don't know what to do anymore.
Do you ever wonder if any of these people are maybe not real?
No, they people? Are because she yeah. apologized.
Oh, okay.
She said, oh my God, how dumb of me. I missed it. And I just gave it a ha ha.
Yeah.
That's my.
That was nice of you.
That's my Joaquin Phoenix, am I not merciful? Am I not merciful? Gladiator, everybody.
Yes.
Not Inherent Vice.
Right. Right.
Name the movie nobody's or seen, including me. So it's just been an interesting start to the week already. The two dogs are wonderful, and yet I now get it. I said to you before the show, I'm not comparing having two dogs to having children,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like two dogs is like half a child. And I feel an exponential loss of time already because Clifford's so big. Clifford, I don't know. Clifford is such a good, gentle boy. But I'm starting to, you know, because I always have to find the cloud in the silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about him where I'm going, are you a sweet boy or are you dumb?
Sometimes they do go hand in hand, though.
They can go hand in hand, but am I giving him too much credit for niceness
mm-hmm.
and not giving enough credit to, well, you're kind of dumb.
Right.
Like, he does this thing, I've started to call him Zoolander, because he'll like, won't do like a left turn, he'll just do like a full circle to his right, you know? So I'm looking for him to maybe do Blue Steel at some point. But Cookie is kind of a head case with him, but they seem to be getting along. But it's like, he's so big that it's like we adopted a 10-year-old in terms of size.
Right.
And he stops us from, like, it's very hard to walk the two of them together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to get him some training.
Yeah.
Laura can't, and I can, but I think I look, you know, like, I don't know, an overseer from the antebellum South when I'm walking these two dogs. Like, get over here, Clifford! Clifford, get over here! And Cookie's like, oh no, why you make JL use that tone?
Horrifying.
don't get JL upset. Use a fool. And then he just goes like, but I like that. I like having like a squad. It feels like I got a squad.
You do.
Yeah.
You got a little unit.
Yeah. But it's I'm feeling somehow more squeezed in. Like, and we were talking about this a little bit before, but, you know, I'm starting to get like texts, like whenever you think something's going well or just like not going at all, you know, like I think older people will probably relate to, like, you know, when I was in college, I went to Williams College. It's a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to like the local friendlies. And being the New Yorker and 20 and thinking my life was going to matter and be awesome. And I'm from New York and I'm just blessing these people
yes.
with my presence for yep. 4 years. And I'd be like, how sad.
Yeah.
How sad you're just in a fucking friendlies yeah. in like a small town in Massachusetts. I pity you.
Yeah.
I have such pity, such arrogant, condescending pity for you people. And now I'm like, take me to that small
yep.
town.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Pity me. Let some asshole kid pity me
yeah.
while I'm just like, oh, I have time. I have relaxation. I have like
and this
quiet.
Ice cream was $7.
Yeah.
Not 26.
Yeah. So it's like, it's the phone is starting to, like, it's happened very quickly. Like when I would get cameo orders, I'd be like, oh, that was a little shot because
yeah.
it was like, I'm looking for my comedy career to be validated. And you know what? When somebody wants to give you 50 or 100 bucks,
yeah.
you're like, boom, validation, immediate
right.
money. Now I'm getting them steady. And it's like, now I've hit this point. Even that's like, I like the money. It mm-hmm. pays for things, but it's not like, even those things, it's like a drug, you know, and they're not hitting the same. Like nothing is hitting anymore.
But isn't this what they've always, what people who have like really, really made it have always said about success?
What? You might as well have said, hey, fuck you, Tommy.
But when you talk, ask Britney Spears about like how she's feeling about her fame and validation and success, it's like, you know, I think that if you'd ask a lot of people in positions like that, it's not necessarily maybe all that it's cracked up to be. And now the internet makes it even weirder when Taylor Swift crashes.
That's right. Gonna be epic.
Right, right.
She feels like somebody who's been like,
built up.
Don't ever stop it.
Yes.
If this ever stops.
Yeah.
Doesn't. And I know I'm saying it in a humorous way, but it's like, if we never stop, I'll never have to crash.
Right. Right.
Cause she's, I mean, she's beautiful. She's talented. She's like mega, like insane, like top 10 sort of.
She's like an all time success in pop culture.
Yeah.
Is it even fair to, I was just going to say music, but beyond music, it's like. You know,
and when people say things like, is she a bigger star than Michael Jackson? Culturally, no. But in, is she on that level in many metrics? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she's, it's very hard to compare anybody to the Beatles, but like of her generation, it's like realistically, if you think about it, like Beatles, Stones, it's like Taylor Swift and Beyonce, probably.
Right. Right. My ranking is I have Beyonce 3, Taylor Swift 2, K-pop Demon Hunters 1.
Oh, I got to have the Demon Hunters.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
I keep trying to get Laura to watch that movie. I don't know why I'm the one going, you'll like it. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was like a solid, I watched it more as I often watch things from like a, well, this is being talked about. Let me as a cultural commentator in the middle of the woods where nobody hears me, let me watch and see, and I liked it. But why did we bring up Taylor Swift?
Well, they're just the crash and burn.
Yeah,
again, not hoping for that for her, god forbid. But it's just sort of like,
because it will be horrible.
Well, and this is what our culture does. It's like we build people up so we can just, we love to see the fall, you know. We love the documentary about that 10-minute chapter of just like what happened.
I feel like my fans just like to see all like the falls. Like,
yeah,
they don't, I don't, well, I don't even have a rise.
Did you watch the Billy Joel doc yet?
Yeah.
You got to that? It's like there's that whole point where like they had to talk about his alcoholism no matter what.
Yeah.
It's like, and my manager ripped me off. It's like, people were just hoping for this guy who,
that like, was his like former brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just like everybody, when you get to that level, it's like people are, they want the tea, as the kids say.
Yeah.
They want to see the bad stuff. And people start looking for it, I think.
Yeah.
Like in Taylor Swift's case, I'm sure there's somebody probably from like the fucking, not Newsweek. What's the other one?
Like a magazine?
No, News.
Newsday?
The conservative one?
The Post.
Not The Post. No, forget it. I'm ruining this. But it's a TV, the TV, Newsmax.
Newsmax.
Somebody
from
Newsmax is probably sitting, like, trying to see if Taylor Swift's t-shirts are made by children in Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for it, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's, but it's, I don't, like, nothing's given me the juice anymore. And that's, that feels like when it's time to, like, hang it up.
Yeah.
Because it's such a stress. And the only thing worse than stress for me is like feeling screwed. And I feel like comedy is like the ecosystem, whatever it is, there's a whole bunch of factors, but it feels like, you know, it's the house always wins. I feel like a degenerate gambler at this point. I used to feel like, you know, a card shark for a little bit. And now I feel like a loser at the slots that never wins. Mm. Like, that's not a great feeling with comedy. And even when it wins, now I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, right.
That's the real problem. Like, now the win doesn't even feel like a win.
Right. This is bus fare back home.
But it's this was one of those episodes where we've had a few of these recently. I have no comedy talk at the end of this. You're welcome.
No kidding.
Yeah, because it's like,
because you're souring on comedy.
But it's different than just like comedy. So it's like, maybe it's like, to me, I do feel some vibrations from your restless leg syndrome.
They're bad,
Famously. But it's comedy is sort of at this point where I know I talk about this, but I've really internalized a feeling of like, it's forget about me for a second. Comedy itself, I think, is, you know, much like our democracy. And I'm working on a thing to possibly end my special with it where I go, comedy has been teaching lessons, has had the lessons for America. It is, I'm not saying we didn't invent comedy in America, but I think in many ways, I'm sure there's some British person going like, wit derived from the United Kingdom.
Oh, it's way earlier than that.
No, but I'm saying in popular culture, I feel like American comedy stars, like sports, like other things, it represents, if not the peak, you know, we're such a pop culture driven country compared to other places.
You could
I think
pop culture obsessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I see with comedy, I just sort of go, it's now internalized. I can no longer just look at it and go, oh man, maybe I should get out because I don't see a path forward for me.
Right.
I'm looking at the whole art form and going, I don't see a path forward for comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about how comedy movies have basically been abandoned. You know, it's Robert Downey Jr. doing snarky stuff in Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been some comedies, but like every decade, we've talked about this before, there was like one or two or three comedy like dudes or women who like produced like a generation of humor, style, huge movies.
The comedy blockbuster is like a thing of the past.
Right. But I think that's emblematic of where we are. And what I talk about and what I'm trying to put into joke form, if I'm able to, is just like, if you look at comedy, between tech, between the middle class, between scabs instead of labor solidarity, the unhealthiness of it, the obsessive nature of it, the backstabbing, the content and money over art kind of, it's I think it has a lot of lessons to teach America. And it's hard for me at this point. Like, I'm not even excited about other comedy. There is one person who could probably get me out of this funk. Bo
and
Burnham.
His name is Dave.
Yeah, right. Comedy is just about telling pieces of shit what they want to hear and getting left-wing people mad. Like, even he's played a role. Even he's played a role in shittying up comedy by becoming like, out of his, I know everybody wants to pretend like comics are always the philosophers. George Carlin was a philosopher comic. There ain't a lot of George Carlins.
That's also like a newer philosophy, that the comedian is a philosopher.
Yeah, the truth teller.
Like, was Don Rickles a truth teller?
Chinaman.
Or was he just like fun at parties and fun to like,
yeah,
you know?
But he said the things we were afraid to say, Mike, like racial slurs.
Right.
What truth? What raw truth?
Right.
So the comedy talk, I don't know when it's coming back. So for all of you who bail on the episode before we even get to comedy talk, bad news. I know some of you like the punch down of the week. You're not getting more punch downy than, when are you coming to Toronto?
Yeah.
Or rough day at the office. So I'm getting Eiffel Towered by failure. So we will come back and we'll talk some politics. I'll pontificate on some of that stuff because it's no point in talking specifically about Cheryl or Cittarelli or Mamdani or Cuomo because that will be done. So when we come back, I got a couple of things to talk about. And then I got to run to a show.
Nice.
On the West Side.
One of the last ones.
Yeah, everybody, just cue up that Last of the Mohicans soundtrack because Hawkeye is, well, he wasn't even really the Mohican. It was his dad. It was like Chingachgook or whatever, his dad, like his adopted father. Did you not see The Last of the Mohicans?
Not since I was like a teenager.
That's okay. Probably. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I don't remember
movie is great.
Really, though.
I do love that Daniel Day-Lewis has that in his back pocket. Like, once I did an awesome, cool action movie.
Yeah. I have Last of the Mohicans stories, but.
Oh. When we come back. And we're back. Mike, how was that break?
Really insightful and fun and everything I was hoping it would be.
Yeah, I really turn it off once the camera and audio is back on.
Yeah.
That's sort of my, it's, I'm like the bullfrog from the Looney Tunes commercial.
Hello, my baby. Yeah. Hello, my darling.
And then as soon as showtime. Anyway, couple things to talk, because obviously this is a big political week, but I, like I said before the break, what's the point in talking about, like, we can discuss my future, the future of New Jersey, New York City, mm-hmm. et cetera, next week, if it's still here.
Right. Right.
If New York City is even here.
Right.
In a week.
Yeah.
It is, he is such a good, like, to me, and I get it, he said some things, some anti-Israel things, some maybe things that have made Jewish people very uncomfortable. Mm. And I understand it's a time of heightened tension. Bibi Netanyahu can't be everywhere killing your enemies. So, Jonathan Wick can only kill, you know, Palestinian kids. So he, I get why, but in all seriousness, I get why, you know, in the last few years, you know, anti-Semitism was rising on both sides. I would argue in America, the anti-Semitism on the right usually ended with dead synagogue attendees. On the left, endangered college students. Not saying either is good, but I do think there was a just like the left and the right, there is this asymmetry in terms of who, both sides are bad. Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Both sides are bad. Like, we're going to both sides our way to hell.
Yeah.
To hell. Vince McMahon, everybody. I know I have to explain.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where I'm like, even now, and I do think what the Democrats have done, I'm sorry, I'm not a New York City resident anymore. I've told my progressive friends, when a Biden wins or a Hillary wins, I say, come on, man. Come on, lady. You got to get, I know you were a Bernie person. You were a Warren person, whatever the case may be. You got to hop on board. You got to. Mm-hmm. And I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't flip it around and say, well, Mamdani won. He energized some voters that, you know what, as a broad coalition, the Democratic Party will need. And the more buy-in there is, if people feel like they are heard and they have a stake, maybe next time when their candidate loses, Bernie again, maybe then they won't think.
91-year-old Bernie
Sanders. Yeah. Platitudes. Billionaires. When maybe they won't feel like I got ripped off, because it's like, hey, we did win that one, or we did have a fighting chance in this one, or whatever the case may be. But to see the center left cower with Mamdani and his popularity, his no voter fraud, no BS,
right.
Charisma, articulation, passion, you know. I'm sorry, and I'm not telling any individual you've got to get on board, but I'm saying in the aggregate, it looks really bad for, like, kind of the, you know, you've got Trump endorsing Cuomo, so I guess I have to do that. I guess I have to go home and do that.
Is that tap dancing for the audio listener?
That's tap dancing off a bridge. Like, that's the thing. I used to see a story and go, ooh, I'm going to kill that.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I guess I'll go back in the comedic coal mine and dig up another gem for some assholes. That's really what, like, yeah. There has been a real transition for me from, like, the things Cameo, and that doesn't mean anybody should stop ordering Cameos. Let me be clear. Let me be clear. Ordering Cameos keeps me alive. I start to think there has been this shift where I'm like, I mean, for years, the amount of videos I've put out, I really would feel like, yeah, another chance to do my thing. Now I'm like, I guess I've got to do my thing.
Yeah.
And it's not a great feeling, but I do, you know, I was disappointed in my mom for I understood she was going to vote for Cuomo. And part of it is competency. She is a big believer in, can you do the job? Do I have faith that you can do the job? And for all the people who hate Cuomo or hate centrist Democrats, I do think Cuomo can do the job. Like that's, I don't doubt that. If that's what you're voting on for real, it's a fair thing to vote on.
Yeah.
Competency, complicated system. I think he can do it. But for a party starved and a party that doesn't suffer, like, it's not like, when are we ever, it's the same way I felt joked about, like, when will he ever get a white president again? Like, that's how the Republicans seem to feel. Like, Ma, is our president ever not gonna be a Negro? Well, it's been 4 years. Chill the fuck out, Timmy. But it's weird for centrists and, you know, moderates to be like, we're losing it. It's like, you can't go 100-0. This is a good thing, I think, for the party. I think it's a good thing. It's, people want to create like it's a battle, it's a war, but I do think it's whatever happened on Tuesday. It's a big, you can't brag about your big tent and then get pissed when some of your big tent wins. Right. Then they're not part of your big tent.
Yeah.
They're baggage that you're bringing along. They're your roadies. You're having the moderate concert inside and your progressive roadies are outside. And I wouldn't be saying this, you know, I didn't say this about Bernie. I know people want to say things were stolen, this and that. Hillary Clinton, pretty formidable candidate, pretty formidable fan base, whether you want to believe it or not in your little clique. But Mamdani, I'm just like, you got, like, go with this guy.
Can, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
From a legal standpoint?
Oh, and
maybe
boy.
You don't have the answer to this necessarily.
Well, to bring you back to 5:01 p.m. today, rough day.
I know that there is obviously some chatter among the elites in the city who have a lot of the money and maybe lean a little more right.
Big listener of the show, Bill Ackman.
The John Katzmatidis of the world and guys like that. So may I ask?
Don't screenshot. I'm issuing an order.
That one?
Do not screenshot my Katzmatidis impression.
I would have probably missed it, but now I'm going
to
be looking for
I'm asking you not to. This is a rough week. I don't need court attorneys then going, oh, he's a comedian, I hear. And the first thing they see is,
what can Mamdani actually do as the New York City mayor to make, let's just say, billionaires' lives miserable in New York City? What kind of legislation can he actually
You mean
enact?
Other than 9/11 ing them?
But like, all right, I understand the fear of there being like an openly socialist person in office in one of the biggest cities in the world.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I'm going to snip this kind of in the bud. It's the same thing the Republicans did for Joe Biden. He's a senile, doddering old fool who's plotting to destroy America. Mamdani, he will turn this into a socialist hellscape. Also, he doesn't have the power to do anything he's promising.
Right. I guess that's
kind of arguing this dual thing where it's like, sorry to keep bringing up Schrodinger, but it's Schrodinger's Mamdani. It's like he is both a shrewd Fidel Castro who will destroy our nation from within with socialist policies. He's also a fucking idiot who can't do anything.
Right.
Like, to me,
yeah.
What I look at is I said, you know, my mom was like, I've already given my dad's great quote about Cuomo, so I should balance it out with my mom's great comment about Mamdani. Fucking smiles too much. So I think a lot of things, like, for instance, the rent, freezing the rent, like in terms of rent controlled apartments, like the percent increase. I think he's able to appoint like board members who will then, you know, obviously his litmus test will probably be like, are you going to freeze the rent?
Right.
As far as a lot of the other things, taxes involve Albany, you know, and,
right.
But here's what I've said to people. I go, you know, a great man, Mario Cuomo, once said, you campaign in poetry, you govern in prose. Great, great phrase, gets used a lot. But with Mamdani, apparently he's the first candidate in history who must govern in hard, verifiable, obtainable data. Because that would get the kids excited.
Right.
And it's just a very weird thing where we're at, like, he can't get... I mean, I saw Andrew Cuomo on TV going, I will put 5,000 new cops on the street. I will build 500,000 new apartments. I don't know. That sounds pretty epic. I guess when he says it, it's totally fine and attainable. But when Mamdani smiles, Mom, and says, freeze the rents, we need to build X number of affordable... With whose money and whose army, you pie-in-the-sky douchebag? So, I think he needs help. But what I've said is, and this is why I use this as my example, this is my progressive version of, you know, one of my best friends is black. I gave money to Bernie Sanders. That's like, I keep throwing that in. Once in 2016, I gave money to Bernie Sanders. I'm like, I'm not an enemy.
Yeah.
I give. You know why? I liked the message. I thought it was valuable having his voice in there. And you know what he did? With all the progressives who never stop, you know, deifying Bernie Sanders, he moved the left, the Democrats' agenda to the left. That's what I wanted. I thought Hillary Clinton was the more capable, the more ready, the more accomplished. But her agenda was pushed to the left by Bernie. And it's weird. People, instead of seeing that as a good thing, I know we all want our guy or girl to be the one wearing the crown, be homecoming king. But sometimes it's good enough to be like, we were part of the process. We moved it more to where we wanted it to be. And that's why I gave money to Bernie. I said, I like the talk of inequality. I think this is a problem and it's only gotten worse. And with Mamdani, I view it the same way. I would happily vote for him if I were a New York City resident right now. I don't know if I would have voted for him in the primary, but I might have. And if he can move the city in a more equitable direction, I think that's good. But like I said, this idea of holding him as two things at once that cannot be this, they cannot both be true. He cannot be totally powerless to deliver on the things he wants and also going to destroy New York City. Mm.
Right. Is he a scourge? Kuby used to say when Hillary Clinton was running, the news would go, Hillary Clinton, threat or menace? It's just like, is this person a scourge or not? You know?
And so I hope if he gets elected, I will feel, I don't consider it a steal if Cuomo pulls this out. If he pulls it out, it's gross, but it means he got more votes. Mm. And that's the tough reality. If he loses, I hate the fact that it feels like everybody is going to be like not give him a chance. And the people in the youth, the social media might be like, yeah. Now the key is, do they back him? Do they back him
like literally actually
long enough?
Oh, okay.
Do they vote for do they come out and vote for assembly and for city council? Do they back it? Because that is an important lesson that I've been saying, Mike. I have said this. I don't care really where you are on the left spectrum. Okay? More Democrats equals more progress. And if you want progressive policies, you got to get more progressive Democrats. Mm. And that's going to be the test for Mamdani, I think. I think he seems like a very sharp guy, very energetic guy. Yes, could he have more experience? Of course. But, you know, when Donald Trump, when people gave Trump a chance despite being a traitor because eggs were too high, I mean, that's the answer. That's the bullshit answer. But, like, yeah. I feel like if you can't afford your home, maybe a little 9/11 is okay.
That's a clip.
No, because people will be like, he's advocating for 9/11. It's like, it's contextual.
He's advocating for 9/11.
I'm actually advocating for 11/13. I want even more. But that said, that's been my kind of philosophy, and I've tried to be consistent with it. Just like I didn't like Joe Manchin, but I said, well, in West Virginia, it's okay, because if he's in there, Democrats have power. Mm. So he allows Democrats to have the numbers to exercise power. if I had 56 Democrats, I'd be like, go fuck yourself, Joe Manchin. But if he's the 50th, yes.
Yeah.
That 50th or 51st, I should say, if you're not the party in control of the White House, that 51st has special rules attached to it. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean I think Joe Manchin has a hard on for bipartisanship. Like he wouldn't vote to stop an asteroid from hitting the United States unless it had Republican support. Like, he's that much of a bipartisan is the key no matter what. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But the filibuster, Mike. This is like a mailbag episode, except nobody writes to us. Yeah. So it's just me going through random thoughts. But like, right now, Donald Trump, I'm going to agree with Donald Trump on something. And I got into it with some people, some fans on Twitter. But Donald Trump, in a 60 Minutes interview that was truly pathetic, like 60 Minutes, I don't like to, people are very quick to jump on the mainstream media is terrible. That's like saying both sides. Sometimes it's just like, okay, you're going like to the quick clapter point from the cynics. But 60 Minutes feels so castrated since last year, since the lawsuit. I'm sorry. A soft interview with Jared Kushner, and then an interview where Donald Trump is basically fucking Humphrey Bogart from the Caine Mutiny. He's just like sweating and going like, no, it's not a strawberries. You have strawberries. You like strawberries? You like strawberries? I got these. Look at these balls. Look at these balls in my hand. I'm very nervous. But he was like in the camera and like sweat like, And, you know, he's literally saying Joe Biden. I mean, every accusation is a confession. He's literally trying to bring charges that Joe Biden didn't know who he was pardoning. Then Donald Trump goes on 60 Minutes and goes, let me tell you something. I don't know who that guy is. What? Once again, it's in the open. He can literally confess to doing what he's accusing Biden of. And people are like, nothing to see here. I don't know him. Never heard of him. My sons are very involved with him. Okay, so what? And there was like very little pushback. There was very little pushback. And because I like Nora O'Donnell's eyes so much, I try not to criticize her too much. But it was a very... this is the thing. There is no point in interviewing Donald Trump. That's the sad thing we've gotten to. And that's why they go hard on Biden. That's why they go hard on Democrats. Because they realize we're not going to get anything out of this guy. It's useless. It's pointless. But that doesn't mean, I guess, we have to be double hard on Democrats so it evens out. So we have like, we need 100% tough on politicians, but doing it to Trump means nothing because he's fucking insane and he doesn't care. I guess we'll be doubly hard on Democrats and see how that works out. But he said we can go with the nuclear option, the other nuclear option. I guess you're not going to drop a nuclear bomb on the Democrats. You were using that as a metaphor. Thanks, President Trump. God, you're so sharp.
We're going to get them all in one place.
We get it. It's called Designated Survivor. We'll have one Democrat. We'll pick one with big boobs, and she can stay outside, and she lives. And she can tell all the other Democrats, don't mess with the Trump people. They're tough people. We will put 50 million homes in New York City. I am not dealing in fantasy like Zoltan Marshmallow. I will get results. He said the nuclear option, get rid of the filibuster, and then they can own it. Then they can stop the shutdown, raise everybody's healthcare costs. And I was just saying, yep, that's exactly what they should do. I completely agree, Mr. President. And the filibuster is one of these things that I feel like not enough people pay attention to, but it's time for it to go. And somebody said to me, well, I'm kind of glad because it'll stop Democrats from doing some of their stuff and it'll stop Republicans from doing their stuff. And I go, cool. Why do we have fucking direct election of senators then? Why do we have an amendment put in the Constitution so I can elect somebody to fucking work? If the goal now is don't do anything, look, but don't touch. 2 weeks in a row, devil's advocate. Is the goal of our government like, hey, let's put somebody in there with a nice salary and a pension and benefits and don't do anything?
Yeah.
Let's have stalemate for the rest of our lives. No, get rid of the filibuster. Like, this is why we've got to get people accountable. We've got to get people trying to do things. You know what? If Trump wants to fucking raise your healthcare costs, you elected him. You elected these fucking people. Let them do it. Then we get to say, I didn't like that. I'm not voting for you. Now, the Republicans are so, and somebody said this is exactly what the Democrats do. I was like, shut the fuck up. Joe Manchin did that. There were like 47 Democrats like, fuck the filibuster. And then people go, Democrats can't get anything done. Yeah, one guy. The entire Republican Party is like, the filibuster helps us not do what Trump, like Trump's crazy. We all know that in private, but we're cowards. So if we have the filibuster, we can say, Mr. President, we'd love to pass a law executing Democrats and making boob implants mandatory by age 16. We love your agenda. The filibuster. So then he goes, I hate the filibuster. And they're like, sir, we're just too respectful of tradition. What's that? You don't want Merrick Garland to be a Supreme Court justice? We'll hold him up for a year. What's that? Amy Coney Barrett's got 2 minutes before a new president? Fuck it. Get her in there. Like, they don't care about you. The filibuster has become a let's not do anything and let's stop doing things that Trump wants to do that will get us in trouble. Like, the filibuster allows Republicans to have power and then not be held accountable by what Trump wants to do. So I say get rid of the filibuster. I would say, I'm reading this book, I'm about to finish it, by Jill Lepore, about the history of the Constitution, and her main thesis is like it's become too difficult to amend. It no longer can reflect or represent where we are as a country. It needs to be lowered. And that's my whole thing, is that government is no longer, I wouldn't even say accountable to the people. People would say that. I would say they no longer have to do anything. And in fact, it seems like in many cases, Republicans especially, or maybe entirely, don't want to do anything except give tax cuts. So get rid of the filibuster. I would say, let's get some amendments out there just to get the process going. I say 75 years old, age limit on president. Let's see if we can get that done. You know? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, it won't even apply to Trump. Like, he gets a freebie. You know, just like, let's see if we can pass that, because everybody seems to agree. They're too old. Yeah. Too old. So let's get that. Like, just so we get a taste. Like, yeah. A taste of what it's like to amend the Constitution. I would say, let's pass an amendment that says corporations are not people.
Yeah, where is that?
Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court, right? Yeah.
They have, and that's why Mitt Romney, to be fair, when he said corporations are people, people are like, you fucking rich piece of shit. Well, he's right as a matter of law.
Right.
They have, like, person rights. You cannot abort a corporation. That's just a fact.
Right.
No. So I would say pass that, but that's obviously going to be something where they go, no. Like, because I'd love to see Republicans defend, like, no, corporations are people. Like, let's do some things like that, like, just get people going, like, have you heard about this amendment? The Republicans are saying corporations are people. But they're not. People are people. Corporations are things. They're not people. This is like pronoun thing. I thought the Democrats were fucking crazy with the pronouns, but all of a sudden, Republicans want to fuck corporations without condoms because they think they're hot chicks. Just stupid shit like that you can flip it on them. That's actually not a terrible idea, by the way.
It's going into the special, folks.
Oh, man. 19 people in Canada are about to have the time of their lives. But let's get some amendments going. But I say the filibuster has to go. This is if JL were president. But I just think and I think being a Ranger fan, I said this to somebody recently. I know I'm all over the place, but no, what I said about Ranger fans is sometimes I look at them and I go, restless leg syndrome, please stop. I said, do Ranger fans even like the Rangers? There's such a joy in this country of, like, shitting on things that you're, like, a fan of. Mm. When I shit on things, it's because I'm not a fan of them, at least. Mm-hmm. You may think I'm negative, but it's like, well, no, I don't go, God, I love going to hockey games, even though I fucking hate the Rangers and hockey and my seat and the garden. No, I like it. That's why I go. That's why I do it. Mm-hmm. I may complain about a lot of things, but I do like going to Ranger games. Ranger fans seem to have this, like, you'll sit next to somebody who just never stops complaining from the moment the puck drops. They're like, why are you here? Mm-hmm. Like, I get it if life is not going great or you don't like your job. You got to have the job. You got to do, like you chose to spend money and come here. And, like, it seems like your thrill is to be mad. And I feel like that's where we've gotten with our government now. We're no longer really saying be accountable. You know, we're no longer saying do this. We're just kind of like, politicians suck. They all suck. And they're just like and I'm not saying they deserve sympathy or anything like that. But it's very weird. Like, we should be holding them accountable and asking them to do things instead of just having them be another thing that we, like, collectively hate on. But I don't know where we're going. I can't believe we're not even a year done with Trump. This does feel like a final episode of sorts. Don't be surprised if next week I'm just like, Mike,
I'm done. In.
Yeah, and you have
bringing it back. Bad idea.
Every Monday. I hope that I get a text from you saying, I'm not fucking coming. Good JL hunting. But I think politics has become like, it's like a spectator sport. I don't know. And I know there's a lot of people out there who's like, no, I go to protests. I vote. I do this. Yeah, I get it. But the country is now being moved, unfortunately, by a mass of non-voters and MAGA voters. Like, if you look at those two groups, that's the majority of the country. And I don't know. We have to get government working again. And I mean this literally. Do bad things, government. Like, but do them, like, so that our elected officials are responsible for them, so that we can enter the relationship again and go, I didn't like that. I'm voting. Instead, we're in this kind of like matrixy state where they're just kind of feeding off us a little. And we're like, but nothing's moving except when you try to move something. No, stop. Mom died too far. Well, maybe going too far as a goal will get us moving somewhere, because right now we're moving nowhere. And, I'm moving to Los Angeles. I'm not. No. I didn't know how to end that.
You're not an LA guy.
I'm not an anything guy, apparently. I'm a just die slowly guy. But guys, I have shows coming up. We've been on a real heater of what the fuck was that episodes. This, I think, was the peak. But why does everybody else get to talk, like, just have like a nothing show? Every other podcast is fucking Seinfeld. It's like, hey, what'd you do this week? I don't know. Fucking the bitches, and like, we went to the game. Oh, and then it's like 2 million downloads.
The game.
2 million downloads. I went to fucking Vegas. 3 million downloads. It's like, okay. So sometimes we can just shoot the shit. And by shoot the shit, I mean I sit here pontificating while you... Is that water?
Yeah, he's drinking water.
Oh, man. I thought he was eating his ass for a second. I was like, that is some intense Frankie.
He's getting restless.
Well, you gave him restless leg syndrome. But anyway, I got shows coming up in Jersey, in Long Island, Toronto, Charlotte. You know, spread the word, you friggin' turds, to anybody in those areas. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have an announcement in the next week or two. It could range from I'm running for office to the podcast is ending. I feel like my world is that wide open right now. I know which one you'd prefer.
You're a real wild card right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, get rid of the filibuster and the podcast. That's my platform.
Not bad.
Yeah. I think we can win on that. I appreciate you guys listening. Yeah, hopefully you enjoyed just the random banter this week. I promise to at some point come back to a plausible format for a show, but I can't wait next week to, if New York is still here, to discuss what's happened.
That's right.
So everybody, be good to yourselves and each other. See you next Thursday.